Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Please be seated. First and foremost, I would love to say from the pulpit, happy Pride. Thank you for the claps. Yes, yes, yes. And some of you might be wondering why we celebrate Pride Sunday today rather than earlier this month during Pride in the CLE. And I have to say what I have learned is that it is intentional. Each year we celebrate Pride as we get closer to the anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising at the end of June. While Stonewall has become the foundation of LGBTQ+ rights movements, it is also something much more. It marks a moment when people who had been told they were less than, who had been pushed to the margins, told to hide or disappear, refuse to let others define their worth or deny their God-given dignity. Stonewall reminds us what happens when people refuse to let rejection define who they are. That may seem like a perfect place to begin our sermon based on our gospel today. And today's gospel is a bit of an unusual way to end a chapter. Over the past several weeks, we have been making our way through the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. Jesus, we hear, first calls and commissions. He teaches the disciples what ministry will require. He warns them that following him will not be easy. They will face misunderstanding, opposition, and rejection. In fact, earlier in this very chapter, Jesus tells them that there will, in fact, be towns that will refuse to receive them. Then, almost unexpectedly, Jesus ends his teaching with these words: "Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." At first glance, it might sound like Jesus is offering one last encouragement before pushing them out the door. Stay faithful, do the work, and hey, there will be a reward. There will be a prize waiting for you. But I don't think that that is at the heart of what Jesus is saying today. One commentator writes about our passage that a central element of the disciples' mission is to make possible an encounter with God's saving grace and presence. Think about that for a moment. The disciples are not simply sent out into the world to deliver information about who Jesus is and what Jesus has been doing. Through them, people encounter Jesus himself. The question isn't simply whether or not people will be kind to the disciples. It is a question of whether they will be able to recognize Christ when Christ comes to them through another person. And Jesus doesn't share this teaching with the disciples as a hypothetical. At this point in our gospel, opposition to Jesus has already been growing. Religious leaders are questioning him. Some people are amazed, while others are suspicious. Jesus knows where this road will lead. He knows what it is to be misunderstood. He knows what it is to offer himself as a gift that some will not choose to receive. Soon enough, the one sent by God will stand before the entire world, and the world will have to decide for itself whether to receive him or not. So when Jesus tells the disciples that some people will receive them and others won't, he is preparing them to walk the very path that he himself is walking. And isn't that kind of the pattern of God in our world? God sends, and then the world gets to choose. We choose to receive, or we choose not to. But the world's response never determines God's sending. I wonder if that is still one of the central questions of our own discipleship today. Because when we hear this passage, especially in churches like ours that care deeply about hospitality or radical hospitality, our minds often go off in one particular direction. How do we become more welcoming? How do we make room for others? How do we become more inclusive? And these questions are extremely important, so don't get me wrong. But depending on the translation that you read this morning, Jesus doesn't just use the language of welcome. Other translations give us the language of receive. And I think that there is a small but important difference between these two words. Welcome is something we do. Receive is something that happens to us. Welcome leaves us at the center, in a position of power or control, while receiving requires humility. It assumes someone else has something to offer, something that we as a body need, that we might not even have known we needed in the first place. Receiving asks us to remain open to the possibility that Christ might come to us in ways we've never expected. And that small shift is important because suddenly we are no longer simply hosts, deciding who comes in and who does not. We become people who learn to receive into our own souls. In our gospel, then, Jesus speaks about prophets and the righteous and the little ones. And Jesus isn't necessarily referencing people throughout Scripture. I think he is speaking of the representation of the different ways God's mission unfolds in the world. Prophets speak God's truth, often from the margins. The righteous remain steadfast in the long and difficult work of justice. And little ones, who might be the most vulnerable, overlooked, underestimated, often pushed to the side. Throughout Scripture, these are precisely the people through whom God so often chooses to work. Again and again, God sends unexpected people because they reveal something about God's kingdom that the rest of us still need to learn. Which might raise an uncomfortable question. If Christ comes to us through people we least expect, if Christ walked through our door, would we recognize him? Would we honestly be able to say that we would receive him? Or have we already decided what God's messengers are supposed to look like and sound like and act like? Early in my own journey to the priesthood, I remember talking with another priest. She was queer, a woman, and of Asian descent. She told me that for clergy like us, queer women of color, at one point in time in the history of the church were jokingly referred to as the trifecta from hell. We also laughed and realized that we laugh because sometimes humor is the only way to survive the things that hurt. But after our laughter quieted into silence, we realized something. Neither of us needed to explain. We both knew that there were people who truly believed that people like us were the trifecta from hell. And it wasn't a joke. It revealed to me a church that had become very good at deciding who could speak for God before it had learned to receive the people God was already sending to them. And I remember wondering, how many people never encountered God's grace because someone decided Christ could not possibly come through a person like that? How many voices has the church ignored because they didn't fit our expectations? How many gifts of the Holy Spirit have gone unempowered and unopened because we had already decided who God could and could not use? And I think that is one of the deepest tragedies. Not simply that certain people become excluded or dismissed, but the tragedy is that the church itself becomes poorer and poorer. Because whenever the church refuses one of God's messengers, it is never really only that one person who suffers. The whole body of Christ loses a gift that God intended for all of us. If, as Jesus says, his disciples make possible an encounter with God's saving grace and presence, then refusing the disciple means risking missing an encounter with Jesus himself. This is why I think Pride Sunday is so much deeper than welcome. Of course, as I noted, welcome and hospitality, they matter. But Jesus is inviting us beyond just welcoming someone into receiving them. Have we truly learned to receive the gifts God has given through the LGBTQ+ community? Either those in our own community of faith or in our wider community of life? The church has been shaped by queer Christians who have taught us resilience in the face of rejection, the courage to tell the truth about themselves, the beauty of chosen family, the practice of hope when acceptance has not yet arrived. These are not just attributes for the church to admire from this community. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit, given to them and given to us for the building up of the whole church. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, there is a flip side to our gospel this morning. It is a word for anyone who knows what it feels like to not be received. Remember what Jesus has already told his disciples earlier in our chapter. Some towns will refuse to receive you. He doesn't then go on to instruct them to become different disciples or change themselves until other people approve. He never says that if a prophet is rejected, they stop being a prophet, or that if the righteous are ignored, they become less righteous. And he definitely never says that if a little one is overlooked, they become less precious in the sight of God. He doesn't tell his disciples that rejection means they misunderstood God's call on their life. He simply tells them to shake the dust from their feet and continue the journey. Their identity is never determined by someone else's response. Imagine what would have been lost if every prophet in Scripture had decided rejection meant God must have gotten it all wrong. What would have been lost if Jesus decided the same thing? Many, as I named, received Jesus with joy. Many rejected him. Some chose to follow, and others conspired against him. But their refusal to receive Jesus did not undo God's decision to come to earth, to be with you. And because we belong to the risen Christ, the same is true for us. If you are someone who is told that you are way too much or not enough, or that you need to change because of who you are or how you love, if you have ever felt pressure to conform because of what others see when they simply look at you, if you've ever spent years trying to become easier to accept or easier to love instead of believing you are already fearfully and wonderfully made, our gospel this morning is here to remind you that someone else's refusal to receive you cannot undo God's love for you, nor God's decision to send you into the world. You have always been God's beloved. You are gifted by the Holy Spirit. You are someone through whom others encounter God's saving grace and presence. Whether anyone else's eyes can see it or not. And perhaps that is the reward Jesus speaks about in our passage. Not a prize waiting for us at the end of faithful ministry, but the pure joy of participating in God's work in the world. The joy of discovering Christ in one another, of being transformed by gifts we never even knew we needed. Because that is what receiving does. Welcome may leave us unchanged. It can be an illusion of acceptance. But receiving leaves us completely transformed. So on this Pride Sunday, as we remember Stonewall, we remember all of those who refuse to let rejection define who they are. And in today's gospel, we hear why they could and where they gather their strength. Long before anyone chose whether or not to receive the disciples, Jesus had already chosen them and sent them into the world. Long before anyone decided whether or not they belonged, God had already called them beloved. Their sending came long before the world's acceptance, and their calling came before anyone's approval. And this is true for us. Whether we are the ones still learning to receive Christ in unexpected people, or whether we are the ones wondering whether rejection has the final word on our life, or if we are ones that are a little bit of both, the good news of the gospel is for you. Someone else's refusal to receive you cannot undo God's love for you, nor God's decision to send you into the world. So let each of us go forth and be exactly who God has created us to be and has called us to be. Amen.